Welcome to the Abbot Lou Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
All right, so open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, we've been talking and really processing about humility. It's been something that's been in my heart and learning to cultivate or continue to cultivate this oh-so-valuable character trait of humility and what it produces and the opportunities it gives us. And one of the things that humility leads to and that is necessary in our life and our Christian life is a very fundamental foundation of the Christian walk with Christ is forgiveness. And truly our relationship with God after we walk in humility and we're able to receive Jesus because we have the humility to do so, we receive the first thing we receive from Jesus is what? Forgiveness. Right? We receive forgiveness from Him. And the Bible goes to tell us in many places that as Christ forgave us, we ought to forgive others. And He gives us examples of if He forgave us such a gigantic debt, then can't we go on and forgive other people this small amount of forgiveness towards one another? But here's one of the things that I really want us to do today as we're digging into the Word, as we're thinking about this fundamental principle in our walk with the Lord, as He set this example for us, is that when we learn to walk in forgiveness, there's one thing we really need to do, and it's we need to take this measuring rod, this giant ruler that we always like lift up and measure ourselves with when we think there's a rule in the Bible. When the Bible says, when Jesus teaches us, or one of the disciples or apostles says, you need to do this. Okay? You need to learn to forgive. And some of us are struggling with forgiving. But one of the problems and starting places of a problem is that we think we're supposed to forgive so that we can measure up and then God will be happy with us. This is a problem. And so my encouragement to each one of us today is that we take this gigantic measuring rod that we tend to, we all kind of tend to do this. We want to like measure ourselves up against it and see if we're okay. And actually, if we feel like we do enough, then God will be happy with us and He'll love us and then His favor will pour out on us or whatever we think. Look, we really need to lay this thing down today because today is about understanding that our relationship with Jesus starts with forgiveness. Our relationships with other people are maintained through forgiveness. And God's love, I'm convinced, His desire to pour out His love on the earth is His greatest desire, as we know it. So God is love. And God's desire to pour out His love on the world is so humongous that He desires to break loose this logjam in your life and my life, this unforgiveness, so that the love of God can pour through our life. If we don't learn to forgive, then we bottle up compassion and love and mercy and all these things of the kingdom life wanting to flow through us if we don't learn how to really let go and really release hurts, release pain and trauma and bitterness in our life. And so really the call right now is not that you would do more or be better or measure up to what God has for you, but it's that you would learn to release the love of God through your life so you can be a blessing and not only be a blessing, but truly forgiveness is freedom. Are you with me, church? Come on. Forgiveness is absolute freedom. And even more for the sake of like, rather than God wants you to measure up and look better or be better or follow these things so He's now happy with you, which is not what He's asking. It's that you could live free. Jesus came and died so that you could live free, not in prison. Don't imprison yourself. Please, like we all need to do this. Let's not go imprison ourselves in bitterness and unforgiveness. But I think that probably one of the areas that we're all as human beings, and I would say myself, you know, especially, I'm very vulnerable to unforgiveness. You know, it's hard sometimes when we get hurt. It's real. And it really hurts. And we feel wronged or mistreated or something is taken away from us. And sometimes we get bitter or mad at God. Or it's hard to live. But my encouragement to you is that it's worth it. Living is worth it. And God designed you and I and gave us the Holy Spirit to help us. The Holy Spirit, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the God of comfort, who comforts those and uses the comfort that He's given you to help comfort others in your pain and your loss and your hurt, your trial. God has given us the Holy Spirit to help us, the grace of God to help us right here in this place of unforgiveness. It's possible, it's hard, but it's worth it. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Now, we're excited today that we're going to change. By faith, by Your Spirit, we're going to change. We're going to grow. God, we're asking You to continue to help expand our lives, expand the truth of who You are and how You desire us to live. The love relationship flowing through us that You desire to pour out on the world. God, I pray that You'd open more compartments in our heart to help us learn to love and live and give more. God, we love You. We embrace You today. Let forgiveness be a way of life for us. Let it be a foundation in our life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Remember, God wants to pour out. He wants to release a gigantic river of love through our life. And there's certain things that God is asking us for our sake and the sake of His kingdom advancing to do. And there's a way to live empowered by the Holy Spirit, the work of grace in our life. Chapter 6, verse 27, book of Luke. But to you who are willing to listen, any of y'all out there willing to listen? These are in red. This is from Jesus, right? Let's listen. I say, love your enemies. Piece of cake. Do good to those who hate you. No problem. Bless those who curse at you. Man, I love it when people curse at me. Four-letter words, my favorite words to hear spoken in conjunction with my name. Pray for those who hurt you. No worries. If someone slaps you on the cheek, destroy them. No, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Say, what? This is upside down. Do to others like you would have them do to you. Counterintuitive lifestyle, wouldn't you say? It's the opposite of what your intuition or your natural thought and inclination would be, which is to retaliate. Someone hits you, you're like, blow for blow. Here we go. It's time to go, right? I don't know about you. Someone starts cussing at you, what do? You cuss them back, right? That's what you want. When I was not a Christian, that's what I did. Right? Come on. I can't be the only one that knows four-letter words, right? Somebody would curse me, man, I curse them right back. You want to do this? We both got tongues. We can lash them at each other. Someone hates me, man, my initial reaction, especially throughout my life, was just hate them back, man. It's the hate time. Everybody's drinking Haterade. It's not good. If you love only those who love you, what reward will you get? Everybody does that. That's what it says. Love your enemies. We're skipping down to verse 35. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great. Let's just stay there for a second. Your reward from heaven, not you're going to measure up to Jesus and He's going to be proud of you and you're going to find, He's finally going to be happy with you. Does not say that. There is a reward for living a lifestyle of love, of releasing love in our life. There's a great reward for doing this. That's what we need to be after, is the release of love in our life to see what it'll do. Someone slaps you in the face and you don't slap them back? you say, somehow I love you. Just see what it'll do. Right? Yeah, you could run for your life. Depends on how many times they're slapping you. Someone's hating you and you just love them back. You do good to those who hate you. It freaks them out. They can't comprehend this. It makes no sense. Because love doesn't make sense. Love is not logical. Love is a pursuit. It's an action. It's a force of God's Spirit working inside of us and penetrating through us into other people's lives. And it penetrates through our natural desires. And it's counterintuitive to what you and I might want to respond to do. Right? Man, what will God do? And what does He do? Because many of us have responded right. And we've seen God move through our life when we respond as Jesus is teaching us to do here. He says, your reward will be great, will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. For He is kind, this is God, He is kind to those who are unthankful. He is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. He's saying, be like me. You must be compassionate just as your Father in heaven is compassionate. God is not a God who needs you to be perfect so He can be kind to you. God is not a God that expects you to be thankful and perfect before He starts to pour out His love and His blessing on you. It's not how it works. No, see, He, even when we were sinners and we were enemies to the cross, we were enemies to Jesus, enemies to God, He loved us. He pursued us. He made a way to jump into this world as a man. God became man so that we could experience forgiveness. So in that forgiveness, not that He could lay this big measuring rod up against us to make us feel bad, but no, that He could lead us into the ultimate thing that we were made for, and that's a love relationship with Him. And He says, your Father in heaven doesn't need people to be thankful for what He did. Jesus doesn't need to be people to be thankful for what He did for them, for Him to love them. They weren't thankful before He came. They weren't thankful when He came. And He did it anyway. That's the kind of love He's saying, you got to love like I love. You have to learn. I have to learn. We have to learn to let things go, to really and truly walk in forgiveness, and to not retaliate with what our natural inclinations and desires would tell us to do. Even our feelings, guys, our feelings say, I've been wronged. It's time for me to fight back. But Jesus tells us, people don't have to be perfect for you to love them. People don't have to be perfect for me to love them. Your desire needs to be to live in freedom and to release the love of God through your life. Isn't this beautiful? He says this. It goes on to say this, that do not judge others and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others and it will come back against you. Forgive others and you will be forgiven. We're talking the context of people relationships, not our relationship with God. That if we forgive others, then we'll be forgiven by God, right? We're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about if you want healthy relationships with other people, you have to learn how to forgive. You have to learn how to accept and not judge and not condemn people. This is not the way that Christ called us to live, is to be hammering on people and pounding them down with the law and saying you have to be this way and why aren't you that way and blah, 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 whatever. God's mad at you. That is not what He's called us to be. That's not living a life of Christ-centered love. God has called us to learn to work together and forgive one another. And when we do that, when we give these things, then it says you'll receive a gift in return in full, pressed down, shaken together, made to make room for more, running over, poured into your lap. The amount that you give will be determined back to you. We're talking about in context. We go back to all these verses we just read. We're talking about the gift we give is what? Love. We give love. We do good to people that hate us. That's a gift we give in great. The great measure we give it, the measure will be given back to us. When we don't retaliate, that's a gift to somebody. You're giving them love when you do that. When you're taken advantage of and you give somebody something extra, right? You're giving them a gift. When you lend to people and you don't expect to be repaid, when you're compassionate, you're accepting instead of judging, and you're not condemning, but you're encouraging and you're building up. When you're forgiving, these kind of gifts are the gifts that the Bible is talking about. That when we learn to live this way, it's not like a normal way of living. I mean, the Bible's saying right here, when we give this way, it's going to come back to you in a powerful measure. It's pressed down, shaken together. Like you shake it around, right? You get a, it starts to settle down to the ground, to press it down, to make room for more. We're not talking about like a bag of potato chips these days, where it's full of a bunch of air and it looks full. That's not full. Like 10, 15 years ago, there was more chips in there, I swear. They still sell it. They sell it for more, and there's less in there. And we say it's full. But that's not the kind of full life God's talking about. He's talking about one, this is going to be like nothing else in your life. It's not like the normal bag of potato chips you're used to that you think it's kind of full. No, he's going to shake it around. He's going to press it down so he can make room for more. In fact, he's going to make room for so much more that it's going to keep spilling over into your lap. That's the kind of gift of love and you know, response that is going to come back to you when you live this kind of life of love. Amen, church? Come on. There is a great reward when we decide we're going to live this way. We're going to truly allow the log jam in our life to kind of come loose. Romans 12, verse 17 says, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge and I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, beat them. No, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you. We say this, don't let evil conquer you. But conquer evil by doing good. This is a beautiful way to live. In fact, when we live this way, it reminds me of, this movie, The Lord of the Rings. And I'm glad they're making more movies about Lord of the Rings because they're awesome sermon illustrations. I can work them in all over the place. So there's this one scene in the middle movie in The Lord of the Rings where these giant trees are like attacking this evil wizard. Now, this sounds really nerdy to me when I say it out loud. You caught me. These huge trees, which is pretty awesome to watch, actually. They run up and there's this huge wasteland of death. And all the life has been snuffed out and cut down. And they bind up the river with this big dam and they jam it up. And the big tree, he goes, release the river. So awesome. I love it. And the trees run up there and they start pulling these logs out. And all of a sudden, this huge river of life comes down and it wipes out all the death. And then all this new life begins to take place. It's kind of a cool scene in the movie. And every time I watch that movie and I see that scene, I think of our spiritual life and the things that jam us up and hold back this river of love that God destined us for. He made us to have this love relationship flowing out of us. And Jesus is giving us simple instructions right here on how we can continue to do that. Not how we can measure up so that he's happy with us. No, so that we can continue to live a life where the love of God is being released into a world of death. The world needs your love. The world needs God's love moving through you. And forgiveness is it unlocks that logjam. It unlocks that logjam. You know, there's a thing about forgiveness that is so important. Is that when we forget to forgive, right? Because it happens to the best of us, right? In fact, I started my life out in a life where I didn't know how to forgive. In fact, I grew up kind of in a family where we struggled with forgiveness. And I don't know about you, but maybe forgiveness might want to be one of the fundamental struggles of all mankind, right? Is when we get hurt, we want to hold a grudge. We want to hold on to that because we feel we have a right to. There's a problem with holding on to hurts. Is they imprison us. We get stuck in space and time when we've been hurt and we hang on to it and we don't forgive. Unforgiveness is prison. And I get it. I'm not trying to minimize that it hurts and it was wrong. And you need to see that. And I think to be able to forgive, it's really important for us to really be willing to look at it. Because so many times we say, oh, it's fine. Oh, it's fine. But then life comes around and touches that thing and stirs it up. And all of a sudden, it's not fine anymore. You go from 0 to 100 and you're tweaked. Seriously, raging or manifesting. Are you with me? Come on, I'm the only one that's experienced this in my life. I don't think so. Right? I mean, hurts happen to all of us. And we have to learn as believers how to work through those things and not mask them, not hide them, or just pretend like they aren't really real. But we can't. We can. We shouldn't. And if we do, make a monument to this pain in our life and allow it to become a prison because we don't let it go, we don't forgive, then all of a sudden we're stuck in space and time. And I've been this way in my life, and maybe you have, and you've probably been in conversations with people where you start talking to them, and all of a sudden something triggers something from their past, and we jump back 20 years. 20 years, sometimes 30, sometimes 50 years, we go back in time, and we begin to relive this prison cell that the person is living in, and we play this tape over, don't we? We get in there, and then we have to talk about every square little inch of this prison cell, and we play that tape, and we go all the way around. We can't stop till we get it done. Anybody ever been there? Come on. You ever hear yourself play the same tape over and over again? You're like, wait a second. I'm having sort of an out-of-body experience right now. I swear I've heard myself say this 20 or 30 times. I know I have a problem when I've heard myself say the same thing 20 or 30 times about my own life. Okay, I'm just letting you have a clue into me, okay? If you do, you might want to look here, and there's a possibility that maybe there's some pain here that you need to work on. I need to work through. And that's just fine. Guess what? We all have it. We're all in the same boat. And we have a really, really good God who really knows how to help us with that stuff. Amen? Come on. Release the river in your life. When we dam this thing up and we get imprisoned, it becomes poison to us. It's like dragging behind a car and you're hanging on. And you're like, I got this car. I got it. You're, but who's getting damaged right now? Just getting hammered, being dragged behind a car. Let go. Let go. You don't have to drag behind that car anymore. And you're like, well, I got you, you dirty, rotten scoundrel. You did this to me. But you're getting dragged all around and getting hurt, harmed. In fact, you're not living the best life God intended for you because God wants to release a river of love through your life. And when you're all beat up and banged up because we can't let go, it's difficult to do that. Remember this one time I was at a family picnic. This is quite a few years ago at this point. And, you know, when I was a kid, I used to, anyway, the cousins and stuff, they all started talking. And they started talking about stuff they used to do to me when I was a kid. You can't imagine this, but I was pretty rejected when I was a kid. So I got made fun of a lot and teased. I was kind of the youngest of a pretty big group of cousins and, you know, neighbor kids and whatever. So just life, okay? But these guys would all play this fun game. So fun. Hide from Josh game. Loved it. Favorite thing I ever did in my life. Hey, Josh, come out and play. They're all bigger, faster, smarter, older. And they go, hide. So they hide from me for hours and I can't find them. And I can hear them giggling in the woods. So fun. I'm crying. And then they come out and play with me and beat me with fireweed. So fun. Then run away again. I know. It's not really funny, right? Hey, stop laughing. That's my pain. But even see what I'm doing? Like, we do this, don't we? We kind of make fun of stuff that really hurts. to sort of like say it's okay, but it's not okay, right? It's not okay. This is real. In fact, I was stuck and in prison in that place for a long, long time. And fast forward, you know, 15 years from the events, you know, of the Hide from Josh game. And I'm sitting there and I'm with my family, this family picnic, barbecue type thing. And all my cousins start going on and on about how fun the Hide from Josh game was. And I internally was like about to harm a lot of individuals. I mean, there's a reason why I got addicted to lifting weights and martial arts and stuff like this, is because people always hurt me when I was young and I wanted to protect myself. And I was thinking about all the things I had learned to harm these individuals right here. Like, they're here and they're like poking my pain right now. I'm thinking, this is the moment. And you know what happened? Is the Holy Spirit reminded me of this passage right here. And instead of breaking limbs and harming individuals and dragging them through devil's clubs and throw strikes, that would be so cool to see. But the consequences of that would be bad. It would have harmed all my relationships in such a serious way. Two of my cousins are now believers. Two of them there that I wanted to throw strike. To be honest, I don't know about you, if you ever felt like throat striking someone, never did, because Luke 6:27 says, love your enemies. Forgive those that persecute you. And I'm fuming and just inside, I'm like, just about to really uncork, and the Holy Spirit starts to speak to me. And I'm telling you, I wasn't feeling love for anyone. But I got myself away. I was able to calm down and say, God, you got to help me love these guys. And I have a serious problem. I was able to look at myself and say, you know what, Lord, I really have a problem here. I don't want to live in prison in my 10-year-old soul. You with me? Because every time they talk about it, I haven't forgiven them. And I just go back there. And I want to be able to be at barbecues and they make fun of, you know, joke around about the Hide from Josh game and it not hurt anymore. Okay? You with me? And not trigger me in a way where I can't keep loving them. But I had to learn, and we all have to learn, to forgive. Because when I started to forgive, now they talk about it, and I can say, hey, guys, and I've said this to them. Like, when that really happened to me, that actually hurt me personally very deeply. And I know we're joking about it and stuff, but I want you to know, like, that wasn't a good experience in my life. And I appreciate you guys not, like, making fun of me. So I was able to, like, actually love them later, after I worked through getting totally tweaked, you know? That forgiveness released love and relationship. One of those two cousins, he got saved. I mean, if I would have beat him up that day, we probably wouldn't have been able to lead him to the Lord. I mean, just saying, the odds were going to be lower. Somebody else might have, but it probably wasn't going to be me. You're a pastor? Are you kidding me? I love what you do to your people. It's not the way God called us to live. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Goes on in chapter 5, verse 1 says this, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love. Following the example of Christ, He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. How many of y'all like pleasing aromas? Yeah, I like pleasing aromas. I like this whole aromatherapy movement. It's yummy. It's way better than the smell of a sewer. Come on. We don't like bad smells. We like good smells. Right? God likes good smells too. Sweet aroma to God is His love being released on the earth. A sweet aroma of God's love was Jesus coming to die for our sin and releasing love and giving us forgiveness when we didn't ask for it, when we didn't deserve it, we didn't want it. And He did it anyway because He doesn't need us to want it. Here's some practical tips for you and I to allow a sweet smelling aroma of God's love to be flowing through our life. The first thing is, it's really a question that I want to ask you, and I want you to process, because it's probably one of the most common questions we have when we talk about forgiveness, is do we need the offending party to be sorry or repent? And the answer is no. For reconciliation, the answer is yes. If you want to reconcile a relationship so that you can have a healthy working relationship with another individual, it's absolutely paramount and necessary to have repentance and forgiveness from both parties, owning their own failures and making it right to come back to reconciliation. But you can't have reconciliation without true repentance. You with me? But you can have freedom without repentance. If the other offending party does not repent to you, or you don't have that opportunity, which you're not going to have that opportunity in your life. Sometimes you will, but I'm telling you, a lot of times, you're not going to have that opportunity to be able to have every individual be mature enough, healthy enough, available enough, alive enough, right? Some people pass away after they harmed us, and we don't get reconciliation. Some people have gone to prison for the things they've done to us, and we don't get reconciliation. Right, church? But you can have freedom if you learn to forgive. You can have freedom if you learn to forgive. And you can allow the love of God to flow through your life if you learn to forgive. So the second thing is, one, you don't need the party to be sorry, but you do need a clear understanding of the power of unforgiveness. When we don't understand how powerful bitterness, anger, strife, the pain in our life is, when we minimize that in some way, then we don't allow forgiveness or harboring unforgiveness to be important enough in our life and to stay paramount and the focal point of our life every day. Because look, things are way harder to work through when they end up stuck in the past than they are to deal with in the present. You think about if we dam up our river in this example here, and it creates this giant reservoir, and there's all kinds of pain hidden back in there. It's a lot harder to go scuba diving back there and find it versus if you unlock that thing and you're living in this section of your life that is called today. And when the water's flowing through your life today and you see there's some poison in it or there's something contaminating your stream of life, you pull it out right now. Say, I'm not going to let a root of bitterness get stuck in my life. It's a lot easier to do that in a volume of water like this than it is in a giant lake, okay? You and I are called to live a life of releasing love, and we want that love to keep flowing. And to work on this bitterness, it's so important that we do so because God wants to release His love to other people. And it's so much easier if we do it in the moment, but we have to understand the power of unforgiveness and the power of bitterness in our life and how much it can really damage us and damage people around us. When we understand that, then we need to have a desire to be free. Sometimes, even people in prison that have been incarcerated for a long time, they have a very difficult time transitioning to a life of freedom. All their cell walls make them feel safe. They understand how to live and they understand their boundaries. And then when they come out, they struggle to live a life where they get to make their own choices. And a lot of them commit petty crimes, so they go back in. And it's all okay, I'm okay. I know who I am. If we let too much water go by or we dam up our river for too long, our identity gets rooted in this pain, in this prison that we've created for ourselves and unforgiveness. So we have to have a desire, no matter how hard it is and how much pain you're going to experience and how difficult it is, how much you've been wrong, how hard it's going to be to come out, and the transition to real living and feeling is hard. It's hard to feel about brokenness and hurt in your life, isn't it? We don't want to. We want to live in prison and say, I don't have to think about it. Whatever happens, happens. But God called you to a life of love and really living. And so that's difficult. And that means you have to have a desire and a motivation given by God and the Holy Spirit to see God's love move through your life and see a powerful river moving through your life to be able to release these things and to go in and really begin to forgive people. You also need to make a decision. You have a desire. First, you have a clear understanding. You have a desire. And then you need to make a decision to be free. Forgiveness is a choice empowered by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not a feeling. It's not when someone else is ready. It's not when you're ready. Forgiveness is a lifestyle and a choice and a work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And you and I have to choose to walk in total forgiveness. One thing we need to do in that choice is begin to pray and really release this bitterness and unforgiveness to God. When we get towards the end of my message, I want to give you some practical ways that I have learned to kind of pray. And it's not a formula. It's just some practical ways that I've learned how to really make sure that I'm uprooting these areas of unforgiveness and bitterness in my life. We also need to make a commitment to not bring it up again. In R.T. Kendall's book called Total Forgiveness, I recommend you read this book, R.T. Kendall, Total Forgiveness. He talks about one of the most difficult points that he made for me is he says that when you've totally forgiven, you no longer have to bring it up. That doesn't happen overnight, okay? I'm saying you need to make a decision, but forgiveness is not an event. It's a process. Forgiveness doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time. But it still needs to be a decision and a commitment in your heart to continue to pursue love, to continue to pursue freedom and forgiveness. Losing the leeches. A traveler was making his way with a guide through the jungles of Burma. They came to a shallow, wide river and waded through it to the other side. When the traveler came out of the river, numerous leeches were on his torso and legs. His first instinct was to grab them and pull them off. This guide stopped him, warning that to do so would leave tiny pieces of the leeches under the skin. Eventually, infection would set in. The best way to rid the body of leeches, the guide advised, was to bathe in a warm bath for several minutes. This would calm the leeches, and soon they would release their hold on the man's body. Likewise, when I've been hurt by another person, I cannot simply yank the injury from myself and expect that all bitterness, malice, and emotion will be gone. Resentment still hides under the surface. The only way to become truly free of the offense and forgive others is to bathe in the soothing presence of God's forgiveness. When I finally fathom the extent of God's love in Jesus Christ, forgiveness of others will follow. You and I need to really be in, like we need to desire to be free so desperately that we're willing to bathe in the presence of God and wait upon Him and allow God to really work in the depth, the fullness of the depth of the pain that we're walking in. Because it's real. And if we just yank all these leeches off and say, well, I prayed the prayers and it's all good, it's all fine, you're probably going to leave some little particles behind that are going to refester and cause infection to grow. So my encouragement to you and to myself here today is that we learn to walk in the process, not the event, not the moment. We learn to walk and bathe in the presence of God, allowing Him to softly and soothly just warm us up and go in gently to work on these issues that are imprisoning us, and to not allow the roots of bitterness now to take us up over, but to not just fast forward over these things and say, I want to be well, so I'm going to knock this thing out. Some of us are real to-do list type people. Well, I'm going to knock these ones out. This one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. I'm going to crank off these prayers and we're all good. Okay. Look, I support you in doing all of that. Make a decision. I like decision makers. I like get her done type folks. I know how you feel. But you have to realize it's going to take some time because, you know, these things weren't just set in overnight, were they? You know, a lot of these things we've been stewing in and working on for a long, long time. And it's important for us to take the time to make sure we really deal with the problem. Before you take your car out on a long road trip, you don't just do a quick little inspection, do you? You want to make sure If there was a problem, you heard a little rattling, you want to make sure the mechanic goes in and he really makes sure that the thing is all worked out. You with me? So before you go take that thing out, especially if you're flying an airplane, right? It's a long way down. You and I need to give ourselves at least the same treatment you give your own car, right? Just take the time to really make sure the issues in your life, you've taken the time to really deal with them. And you've allowed yourself, you've given yourself mercy, right? That you're human. God knows that and he's okay with that. You don't have to measure up and it's not a race. You're not competing with everybody around you to be better than them and get higher on the rungs of the ladder so you get a bigger, higher throne in heaven or something. I don't know what we're competing about. It's kind of weird. But we do this. You're not in a race. You're not behind anyone. You're 80 right now. You're not behind anyone. Do you know Jesus? You're going to heaven. You won the race. Live. Live today. Just live today. God wants you to live today. Not compete. But live today. You begin to forgive. You begin to live. One thing that'll help you and me living this life of freedom is to separate the sin and the sinner and to begin to understand that every person has their own story and a building block in their life for their behavior. There are building blocks of pain and hurt that cause people to hurt other people. They're not excuses, but when we understand these things, it can birth grace and mercy in our life to begin to separate the person who offended us from the thing they did. And help us to love that person and know there's a real building block of pain in their life that caused them to be so destructive in my life and other people's lives. And I'm choosing to understand they have pain and that pain hurt my pain, but I'm going to love them. I'm going to love them because God loves them and I want to live in freedom and I want them to experience the love of God. And maybe through those seeds of love that I pour out in their life, the Holy Spirit might be able to help heal them from their pain. Simple prayer process, really, that I learned from my friend Art Mathias across the street at Wellspring, really changed my life. As I began to, he really taught me how to forgive other people and to pray through forgiving. And the first thing that I did was I purposed and chose to forgive. I didn't feel like forgiving, but I desired forgiveness and I desired freedom. And I desired the love of God to move through my life. And I chose to forgive anyway. So God, I purpose and choose to forgive my father for this, right? My mother for this, this person that hurt me for that. And then breaking the bondage that is in my life. Because of my unforgiveness and bitterness, God, will you break the bondage that caused in my life? Will you pull out the logjam in my life so your love can move? And then the third thing is, God, will you heal me? Heal my heart. Holy Spirit, come and minister to my heart. And the fourth thing that I love that he taught me how to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to me. God, will you reveal more truth to me? Is there any other particles of these leeches still sticking around in this pain? Because I want to be thorough. God, I want to know, what do you see? Because I might not be able to see it. What do you see? And can you lead me in this journey of forgiveness? Because guess what? He's a good leader. God's a really good leader. Holy Spirit really loves you. Amen? Amen. He really loves you. And he'll lead you gently to the measure that you can handle. He'll lead you gently. Just ask him, God, will you reveal some truth to me? So I'm going to ask you to do this for your homework. Okay? Pastoral homework today. Is I really do want you to make a list. I'm asking you to take a journey on becoming healthier. Allowing the logjam to be removed from your life and to begin to allow more of God's love to flow through your life, right? And make a list of maybe the 10 most painful things that have happened to you in your life. And ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you about them. And ask Him to lead you in a process of, can I choose to forgive these individuals? And God, will you break this bondage that this unforgiveness has had in my life? And Holy Spirit, will you heal me? And God, will you reveal more truth to me? If you want to pray with another person, that's even better. It helps when another person hears our pain and hears our story and we share that with them. Because then we feel known. And each one of us, we really want to be known. Right? Will you stand with me? If you have something that you need to receive, you want to receive prayer, you want us to pray with you and minister to you, we'd love to do that. But let's close in prayer, and then you can come forward. Especially if you want to give your heart to Jesus and receive the forgiveness that He came and gave to you so freely and so lovingly, you can receive that today, and we'd love to pray with you. But let's pray together and ask God to really do this in our life. So, Lord, we just love you. Help us to fall in love with you again. And God, I'm just praying that you will just give us the power, the gift of forgiveness. God, you will empower us to begin to release this bitterness and release hurts and wounds. And give us the courage, God, the boldness to go and begin to face these things and see these things and really open our hearts to them. And God, I'm asking that you will pour out on each one of us, God, the most important things, the starting place for us in this journey of forgiveness. God, that you will pour that out into our lives. You'll just give us that revelation and help lead us gently and help us lead us gently into this lifestyle of forgiveness. And God, will you continue to allow us to stay free and to live free and not let the root of bitterness take over our life? God, I'm praying a blessing over your people, your favor over your people. God, pour out your love on them. Let a river of love flow through our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, church. I love you. Thanks. Thank you. God bless you. Have a fantastic week. Love somebody. Forgive somebody this week. Amen. God bless you.